Well, I thought I would share kind of a part two here, concerning things that are coming and concerning reprobation of the unfruitful and some things we need to be careful of. We're all being tested, tempted. Nobody's making steps upward that's not overcoming as they go. You know, the promises are to the overcomers. No promises to people that don't overcome. And overcoming is the process of bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the people that don't bear fruit are not going to enter the kingdom here nor later. You don't understand that. But the Lord's been speaking to us for the last few days, and I just want to share something with you. Yesterday, I had been thinking of a certain infectious person whom I had treated biblically and done nothing but good to, and he returned evil for good. And as we know, he that returneth evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Now, I don't say this to talk about any individual. I know that this is something that's happening worldwide right now. People are going through trials to see, you know, if they can be tempted to be Judases, so to speak. And there's a falling away happening right now, just as there was in Jesus's day when he first came on the scene and he spoke about it. And I think it's of ultimate importance that we understand this right now, and that we cast down these temptations, and that we be biblical, and that we submit to the scriptures that teach us so much about a big biblical relationship between one another, and that we have love and forgiveness one for another. So, yesterday morning, I sat down with my Bible in my lap, because we normally have a prayer meeting at that time, and sometimes we speak scriptures from the Lord for certain things. And I didn't really recognize anything. I just laid my Bible down in my lap and it fell open. I didn't pay attention to where it was falling open. But I looked down a few moments later, and my eye met a phrase that I had put a parenthesis around many years before. It was Nehemiah 5 and 13. And the phrase was, "God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied." Well, you know, they were making a commitment to God, a promise to God, and they bringing a curse upon themselves if they did not obey that promise. And in this text, losing house and work and prosperity was the curse upon those who sold out their brethren to bondage or to the enemy, like Judas did. And just as I read this, a phrase, you know, the Lord can just, he is sovereign, you know, to direct your attention to things. And just as I read this phrase, I glanced across the page directly at an underlined phrase in verse 8. It said, "Would ye even sell your brethren?" And you know, in thinking about this person and a lot of other person people like it, like them, the Lord was really speaking to me. You know, Joseph and Jesus were sold into bondage to the enemy, just as the man child will, and many in our day are being sold out by their brethren, so-called. And I say so-called because there are false brethren, you know, among us. And the truth is going to be known, that those that bear fruit will be proven to be the chosen of God, and those that don't bear fruit will be proven not to be anything but called. And many are the called, but few are the chosen. There are many people that are falling away between here and the great and terrible day of the Lord, and they think that they can come back anytime they want, but that's just not the truth. You know, God grants repentance. And to the majority of the Jews in his day who were apostates and who had a covenant with God, to a majority of them, he did not grant repentance. From the beginning to the end, he did not grant repentance. And so it will be in our day. But you know, anytime somebody else gives up their crown, there is somebody going to step forward and take it. And hence the warning, let no man take thy crown. People don't understand that, you know, that God will, you know, these rocks will cry out, Jesus said, there will be some to take their place. And I knew God was speaking to me that this man had sold out his brethren to the enemy, like Judas, for the sake of perceived personal advantage. Brother Michael Hare told me he received by faith at random Ezekiel 44 and 9 at the same time. And says, thus saith the Lord, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary. Of any foreigners that are among the children of Israel. So that's interesting. This is the word of the Lord. Uncircumcised in heart, what makes us New Testament spiritual Israel, right, is circumcised in heart. In other words, the flesh cut away from heart. In other words, it's talking about a fleshly person who is among the people of God. Or uncircumcised in flesh. In other words, the flesh is not cut away, right? You know, we've all tried to share these truths with brethren about obeying the word when they go astray, but some of them just can't hear. They don't have spiritual ears, and they don't have spiritual eyes. And when that happens, they don't understand what they're doing, and they just continue to go in the wrong direction. It's because grace has been taken from them. And we've seen it in the past. It's astounding to me, you know, how they can give up all of their doctrines that they understood, the deep things of God that they've understood, and just totally go astray from God. And people take it for granted that because they know these things that they have eternal security of sorts. You know, even though they don't believe in it as a doctrine, they act as though they have this eternal security. And so when they flaunt God's word, even in the face of telling them, hey, this is not what you're supposed to do. This is not the word of God. This is not your relationship with your brethren. This is not forgiveness, you know. Well, God can just turn them loose. The only reason we're with God in the first place is because he drew us by his grace unto him. And so we stand by grace through faith. And as you know, the Jews were broken off of their own olive tree because of unbelief. And we were grafted in because of faith. And only if we continue to believe the word of God and act upon it do we stand and stay in that olive tree that represents the chosen of God. So this is being repeated around the world as Christians are being separated from God's disciples. There's a difference between Christians, as the world calls them, and disciples. Disciples, of course, are learners and followers. They are the ones who walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if they persecute the brethren, well, you know what's going to happen to them because Jesus has already said it. He's going to let them reap what they sowed. In other words, they won't receive grace. They'll receive justice. This is a time of visitation. We've received the words from the Lord. It's a time of visitation. You know what the visitation is? It's when the Lord comes and brings justice. Every instance, the Lord comes and brings justice. He's doing that now. And with the man-child's ministry coming, he's going to really ultimately do that. People don't understand how judgment is going to come through the white horse rider against many so-called Christians. Anyway, at this same time, Tim shared what he received with us, and it was Galatians 2 and 4. I don't believe in coincidences, you know. Everything came together at the same time, you know. Galatians 2 and 4 says, and that because of the false brethren privily brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty. You know, there are spies in the camp for the enemy. And they're really on the side of the world. They're really on the side of the beast and the beastly. But they're spies in our camp. And they do spy out our liberty. It says, which we have in Christ Jesus. Where is our liberty? It's only as you abide in Christ Jesus. All right. That they might bring us into bondage. In other words, they still want to sell out their brethren. They want to bring people into bondage, right? To whom we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour. You can't submit to these people. The devil is trying to bring you under submission through wicked people. And when their fruits are bad and their actions are bad and they're full of unforgiveness and criticism and anger, guess what? They're trying to get you to do something you're not supposed to do. Anybody with that kind of fruit, you know they come from the devil. So whatever they want, you don't want, right? So we gave way in subjection, no, not for an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, there were some people a while back who wanted to take over our ministry, but if we'd have given in to them, I asked one of them, one of the leaders, I said, now what would you do if you had this ministry? Where would your gift to be able to lead in the Word of God come from? Because this person didn't have that gift. If they had this ministry, it would just fall all to pieces, you know. You know, these factious people spy on those who are free in Christ in order to persecute them with their kind, you know. They're full of rejection like Judas was. Spied on Jesus to the apostates who were waiting to crucify him. And they perverted his words, actions, as any reprobate would. And they had no spiritual eyes and they had no spiritual ears. They don't today. Just remember, folks, when you're reading the scriptures, the things that have been are the things that shall be. What's happening today has already happened. And when you see these things happening around you, don't be surprised. This is that process of separation, testing and separation. We're being tested. See what we will do when we're tempted. Now, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Nobody's going to make it that weren't tested. Nobody's going to make it that didn't overcome. Him that overcometh, he said. Then he makes these promises, you know. That's the condition. Overcoming what? Overcoming temptation. When a person's tempted, other Christians immediately rush to them and say, wait, wait, look, pay attention to the scriptures. It says don't do this. It says forgive. It says love. It says turn the other cheek. And you know what? When they cast it to the ground and they don't pay any attention, you know what? They lost the battle. And they're not going to be chosen. So, I mean, this is happening around the world right now. To be who's going to be in both the man-child, the bride, the witnesses, whatever they're called to be disciples of Christ, whatever they're called to have certain gifts, whatever they're called to. And the Lord will turn around and give these gifts to someone else. And these people fail. The scripture teaches that. And right after receiving these three awesome confirmations in a row, or actually four awesome confirmations in a row, really focused my eyes. I learn a lot from what the Lord tells me and what goes on around me. I try to pay attention. I try to do my best, you know, to overcome, but also pay attention to what people of God need to do, you know. Well, at this time, this dream was sent to me on the same day. And that's no coincidence. I believe in coincidence. I believe in a sovereign God. And we have to look at signs and things that the Lord gives us. You know, some people say you can't ask things from God by random. In other words, flip your Bible up and stick your finger down. Well, let's be it unto you according to your faith. If they don't have any faith, they shouldn't do it, you know. And they obviously don't believe in the sovereignty of God to give you an answer when you ask him. He said in James chapter 1, if we ask, we shouldn't be double-minded, and we'll receive. He's talking about wisdom there and understanding. So anyway, this dream came to us at this particular moment. It said, I was sitting down at a work table that had a laptop computer on it. I opened the computer to see a progress bar actively loading something. I saw the green bar very close to the 100% area of the graphic. I looked at the file name to see that it was a faithful brother that I know. Father gave me an understanding that it had increased greatly since the last time I saw it. I became very excited to learn that he was doing so well. Yes, you know, Jesus said, for whosoever hath, you can call it, you can say hath what? Well, hath fruit, hath grace, hath forgiveness. Jesus said, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Hath not what? Well, fruit, mercy, forgiveness, grace, these things that you must give in order to receive. God will take away even that which you do have. I'm amazed. I'm astounded when I see someone who has understanding totally just lose it as though it fell out of their ears on the ground. You know, it's just amazing to me. It never ceases to amaze me, but I see it happen to people who lose grace from God. He can take it away as easy as he gives it. And he does. And I can tell you who he'll give it to. He said so in the Bible. He'll give it to the one that has. The dream went on. I then saw another name in the left corner of the monitor that was a factious brother. I clicked on it, and it covered over the previous progress bar and was grayed out. So they were looking at the progress bar for this other brother, and it grayed out. What does the gray represent? It represents death. Gray represents death. Bar was about the 50% area. So they did have some fruit. The gray indicated that it was not moving. In other words, it was locked up. I tried to click on it, but the pointer froze up and the computer was locked up. I looked at the computer and thought, oh no. I knew the only way to get the computer working again was to cold start it, Alt-Shift-Delete. But in doing that, I would not be able to save the progress. The file would be lost. What is the meaning here? The meaning is that the fruit up until that time will be lost. As with factious people, when we have witnessed them lose every bit of fruit and act totally contrary to Christianity and claim that they're Christians and claim that they're forgiving and so on and so forth. No, Jesus said, listen to it. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Wow. Amazing. It's always amazing to me. But there's somebody. See, they did not value the gift of God enough to overcome, to consider what the Lord was offering worth a lot more than what the world, the devil, and the flesh was offering. They didn't value it. So you know what? God will give it to somebody who does value it. They see it as a really high gift from God. Be careful. Be careful, saints. Just remember, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Whatever you do to others, it's going to come back. If you don't give grace, you won't get grace. If you don't give forgiveness, you won't get forgiveness. If you don't give mercy, you won't receive mercy. If you don't obey the scriptures, you are not overcoming. Some people want to give grace and mercy to people who are wicked and disobeying the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us specifically what to do in this case. So they want to be more merciful than God, as one man told me. The Lord showed him. You can't be more merciful than God. You are giving mercy to people who are polluting the church. You're on the wrong side. You yourself are destroying the church, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. God gives us specific instructions in the scriptures, and we've got to hold to them exactly. And this person said, as I'm typing this, I asked Father to please have mercy on my brother. I love him and his family. And I recalled all the prayers we've prayed for this man and for Father to grow him into a vessel for him. And at that time, the Father answered me. He said, I have. So what's the deal here? He asked the Father, they asked the Father to have mercy, and the Father said, I have had mercy. But you know what? You can't do anything about it if somebody casts it to the ground because they don't want to have mercy on other people. The Lord has had mercy, as have had all of his servants. And many have just cast it to the ground. There will come an end of mercy in every person's life. If they don't give mercy, there will come an end. The Lord said he had already had mercy on this person. And this is, I believe this is speaking to a lot of people around this world right now that are loosely called Christians. He has had mercy and had mercy and had mercy and had mercy. And given grace. And obviously, when these people begin to beat their fellow servants, God takes away their grace. Matthew 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but them it is not given. Talking about reprobation or rejection by God. For whosoever hath grace on others. Be given grace. Him shall be given. He shall have an abundance. But whosoever hath not, won't have grace for others. They will not receive grace for themselves. They will not receive fruit. From him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables. No. Let me tell you something about people who have forsaken grace and forsaken. They don't believe in parables. They don't believe in dreams. They begin to cast them to the ground. Before, when they had grace, they appreciated these parables from God. And then, because these parables begin to speak against them, they cast them to the ground. Don't realize they're casting the word of God to the ground. They're casting correction to the ground. They cast prophecy to the ground. They cast visions to the ground. Things that God speaks to us about them in our individual life. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So he speaks to them, but he doesn't give them grace anymore to understand these things. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. Yes, they will hear with their natural ears, but they won't hear with their spiritual ears, and they won't observe. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. This people's heart is waxed gross. What people is he talking about? His people, the covenant people. And is it true today? Absolutely true today of Christians today. Just as it was his covenant people then, it's true today. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Jesus spoke this just as much against apostate Christians as he spoke it against apostate Judaism, right? This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. In other words, this is reprobation. Matthew 25 and 24. And he also that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow. What a foolish man. He only reaps what he did sow, which is the word of God. It's the word of God in your heart. It's the word of God coming out of your mouth. It's the word of God in your feet. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. What a foolish man. Thought he reaped where he didn't sow. He thought he wanted something of his. He's just a steward, not an owner. He is coming to reap the fruit that he has sown. He's a foolish person. And gathering where thou didst not scatter. What a foolish man. He only gathers what he has scattered. Word of God. These are the sons of the kingdom. Right? And I was afraid and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. In other words, he wasted his inheritance feeding with the hogs on the world. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. That was a foolish knowledge that he had. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Meaning use it where it will bear fruit for the kingdom, right? Wasn't bearing fruit. This is the guy that had the one talent and buried it in the earth. Many people are taking the talent that God has given them and burying it in the world, giving in to their flesh, giving in to their lusts. And they think they're going to be in the kingdom. What a deception. And so he says, take ye away, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. Well, wait a minute. He's got 10 talents, Lord. Yeah, that's right. He's got grace. He's got mercy. He's got fruit. But the guy that hid his in the earth is going to lose it. And this person's going to have it. Rightly so, because I can tell you the people that bury it in the earth, they're the ones that persecute the people with the 10 talents. The Lord is just bringing justice here. He's going to take from those that he has had mercy on and give it to those who have had mercy. For unto everyone that hath forgiveness, grace, fruit, shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not forgiveness, grace, and fruit, even that which he hath shall be taken away. Cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. This is always mentioned as a place for his unprofitable servants. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And another one, Matthew 22 and 1. Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, that's Father God, wouldn't you say, who made a marriage feast, which is, by the way, 7 days or 7 years. We call this marriage feast the tribulation, when God's people are going to be feeding on the body and blood of Christ. He says, brings life. Body representing the word, the blood representing the nature. Made a marriage feast for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. That's the word called, same word for called, kaleo. That means you're invited to. to this marriage feast to partake of, again, the body and blood of Christ. You know, when you become a Christian, you're called. Who saved us and called us, Paul said. You get saved before you get called. This is not a calling to the world. This is a calling to the saints to partake of the body and blood of Christ. And they would not come. Who were they inviting? The Jews, in the original case, this time the Christians. And they wouldn't come. They're not going to come and partake of the body and blood of Christ. They're not going to come and partake of the true word of God. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. In other words, the sacrifice has been made already. And all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it. They do today. And went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, hiding their talent in the earth is what they're doing. And the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them, just as they are now. But the king was wroth. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers. Yeah, that kind of happened in 70 AD when the beast army of that day came against the apostates. The rest of them had fled to the mountains. I can tell you right now, the beast is getting ready to conquer and bring into submission everything but the bride at this time. Bring to their cross everything but the bride at this time. He burned their city. Amen to that. Justice. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. That's happening at this time. Do you know? He's getting ready to turn back to the Jews to bring out a remnant of them for his name's sake when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Don't go become Jews now, because if you become Jews, you'll be very foolish. You don't understand that they have a covenant, a new covenant. They all want to go back under the old covenant when they become Christians, and they want to drag the Gentiles under the old covenant that passed away. So don't become a Jew. But the Jews, these Jews, are going to become Christians. Go ye therefore unto the partings of the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid. Or invite, same word, kaleo, to the marriage feast. This is what we're going to be doing, folks. Come and partake of Jesus Christ. Come and partake of the true word of God. Come and partake of his life and nature. And they're going to say, well, we're busy. Oh, yeah, we'll go to church on Sunday, but this is our day. We're busy. Those servants went out of the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests, bad and good. Yeah, he's getting ready to explain that. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. Well, that's bad, isn't it? One who has not put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul called it. Put on the nature of Jesus. Thought that this was important, to walk as he walked, right? And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Now, some people think the wedding feast is in heaven, and we know better now because we're seeing wicked people that have come to the wedding feast but didn't put on Jesus. So that's on this earth, not in heaven, because he's not going to bring you to heaven and then kick you out, folks. Please pay attention here. And he was speechless. Why would a man be speechless if the Lord said, hey, you're not dressed up with Jesus? Because he doesn't understand that the nature of Christ must be put on to enter that place. Oh, he's, gone to the right religion and gone to the right people and, you know, sat under this and that and whatever, but it doesn't make any difference. If you don't have fruit, it won't make any difference. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Cast him out into the outer darkness. In other words, the place of fruitless Christianity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called for the sake of Christ. But few are chosen because they have borne the fruit of Christ. You that are chosen, God, you go out into your garden and you pick what's beautiful and ready to eat, you know. So be it. So I hope you'll take this scripture warning to stay away from people that have no forgiveness, no love, no grace, no mercy, criticizers, railers, factious. If you walk with these people, you'll be separated from the body. They're there to test and to tempt you. That is the devil tempting you right there. Titus 3:10, a factious man after a first and second admonition, meaning, of course, the first time they do it, you speak to him about it. The second time they do it, you speak to him about it. But then he says, refuse them. You say, have a trial? No, he said, refuse them. Faction is very dangerous. It's demonic. It is a spirit of division. It will divide you. If you listen to it, it will go into you. It will divide you. That's what faction is. Knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. Oh, yeah, they'll blame it on everybody else, but the truth is they condemn themselves by not having mercy, not having mercy from God. Romans 2:8, but unto them that are factious, obey not the truth, and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. They've been chosen by God to be judged. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Turn away from them. But he says, turn away from them. See what they're doing. Don't be around them. Separate from them. Why does he make this into a bigger sin than some other sins? Because he does. He tells you just to turn away from them. There's no trial or no nothing here, folks. He just says, turn away from them. They that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Notice, if the innocent can be deceived, a lot of people can be deceived. Their smooth and fair speech. So they're not always, they're not coming, appearing to you like the devil with his red suit and his pitchfork and so on and so forth, his horns, you know. They come as an angel of light. They want to show you something about someone else, but they're not going to obey the rules. And they're certainly not going to want you to go and talk to them. They'll probably tell you, oh, don't go talk to them, but let me whisper this in your ear. And they're trying to divide. Big I, little you kind of divide, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. There it is right there. Don't have any company with them. If any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous, fornicator, of course, is somebody that receives or gives the seed of this world instead of that of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. That's a spiritual fornicator. Or covetous, they have a desire for more, they have a selfish ambition. Or an idolater. Obviously, you're an idolater if you're not going to obey the Word of God. You have something else that's more important, right? Or a reviler, that's one who speaks against others. Or a drunkard, many people are drunk on this world, drunk on their flesh, drunk on ambition. Or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. And in this text he's talking about partaking of our unleavened bread of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, right? But don't eat with people like that, because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. But what have I to do judging them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Did it say we should have a trial? No, he said, put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Trial is over. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which they received of us. We know the traditions of the Scriptures, and that's why we stick to them so ferociously, and that's why we point them out, and that's why we try to point them out to others when they're departing from them, and so on and so forth, right? If any man obeyeth not our word by this epistle, note that man, that you have no company with him, in that he may be ashamed. You're supposed to make this person feel ashamed. If they try to come to you and knock on your door, and you've already found out that they've been doing this, you're supposed to make them feel ashamed. Say, nope, I'm obeying the scriptures. I'm having nothing to do with you. Back them right off. Sit there and listen to them. You'll be in the same camp with them. 2 John 1:9. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ. Of Christ is very plain. And they'll just ignore it and let it go right over their head if they want to. Hath not God. Listen, whosoever goeth onward, they started out with you, but it says now that they have not God. He that abideth in the teaching, in other words, they value the word of God. They will submit to the word of God. It is their Lord. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, you're casting the word of God to the ground. Receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. Listen, give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Do you want to have those works in your life? Do you want to greet this person as a brother and not make him be ashamed? God says, you're going to have these works in your life. Better repent. 2 Timothy 3:3. Without natural affection, I've seen it over and over and over. When the Spirit takes them over, they have no natural affection, no kindness, no graciousness. They're implacable. I mean, they can't appease them in any way. Slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good. Psalm 101:5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. Puffed up. Children sometimes that act like they think they're grown-ups and judge elders. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them. For they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account. They're held responsible to stand up and to take the bullets and to fight the bears and the lions like David did to save the flock. They're accountable to this. They suffer a lot doing it, and you better know that and understand that and have mercy upon them. That they may do this with joy. Yes, they need to be able to have joy while they're fighting for the flock, and not with grief. For this were unprofitable for you. Yep, the Lord is looking on. He is looking on. They are targeting you, saints. Folks, anybody that gives in to these spirits, there is division. In their household, there's division in their families, there's divorce between husband and wife, and if they're living together, they're still divorced. You can't let that spirit in, and you can't sow it without reaping it. Division between the children and the parents, unforgiveness, criticism, judging. The wife doesn't give in to the thinking of the husband who has this disease. She just has no peace. So she gets it too. Know why? Because the Bible says, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That put forth that leaven from you, so it don't destroy the whole lump, right? And be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Often wondered why, how so often when a husband received these evil spirits into themselves in order to divide them, their wife followed with them. fact, almost every case, that demon is loosed in the household. And then neither one of them know what they're doing. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. If a wife or husband loves their spouse more than following God's word, they'll be taken out. They're idolaters. It's said that a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And this is the nature of faction and witchcraft, which is testing God's people in these days. You're going to be tested. You can't sow these things without reaping them. And I have to tell you, just like I said earlier, no eyes and ears to see. They don't even understand what they're doing. People don't even know they're overcome with these things, and they feel very self-righteous with no conscience of the word. If they are delivered by the grace of God, they're humbled and become our brethren again. This has happened to some, and it will happen to more, because God is one who raises the dead. Believe me, these folks are dead. God raises the dead. That's why we continue to pray. We continue to hold out for mercy and grace. Because we know they don't know what they're doing. We know they've been taken in this fault. And we want mercy and grace for them, just like we want mercy and grace for ourselves. Oh, praise God. Saints, ask God. Ask God for mercy and for grace for the people that you see that are falling away. This is happening around the world. There's nothing happening in a corner right now. God at this time is making this separation so that the people who go into the wilderness won't be totally tempted all of the time, attacked by the devil within, the hedge being down, while they're out there trying to sit down with the man-child and learn the ways of God. It's going to be a relative, I should say, just relative time of peace in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And second 3.5 years, all hell's going to break loose. But guess what? They got the Word of God in their heart, and they got the power of the Spirit upon them. God knows what we need to enter tribulation with in these days, and He's being careful for us. He's helping us. He's separating the wheat from the tares, and He's separating the sheep from the goats. Mercy. We'll separate, He said, among His people, all them that cause stumbling, them that do iniquity. And then they're going to shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. You know what? As groups of people are being blessed with the Word of God, the Lord is separating people from them. And the more holy they become, the more God will protect them and bless them. We spoke about that today. Concerning Ananias and Sapphira, there was a spirit-filled group of people there. The wicked dared not join themselves to them. Because they were righteous, they spoke righteousness, they didn't preach an easy gospel. And because of that, when somebody like Ananias and Sapphira came in their midst, God smote them dead. And I'm telling you, that happens more often than you think, even today. We've been hearing that here locally, that we're going through the last house cleaning. I don't think it's the last one before the end. I think it's the last one before going into the tribulation. That's what we're going through right now. And I'm telling you, I am seeing a group of people here locally, and I know it's true of larger UBM too, praise be to God, you know, that's holy. They love one another. And when somebody proves that they're not of the same opinion as that, they're just separated. But the ones that are left are going to have special favor from God. Because the holier a group gets, the more favor and the more grace is poured out and the more the power of the God. In other words, what's taken away from the wicked is given to the righteous, God said. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy to us. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We're excited that your body is becoming more and more clean. Your house is becoming more and more clean. We're getting ready for the tribulation. Thank you so much, Father.